Sounds of Awareness. I'm Paul Van Dyke. In this half hour, we discuss the attitudes and biases surrounding people with disabilities and the challenge of everyday life. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sounds of Awareness. I'm Paul Van Dyke. There are a lot of jobs that people associate with blind people. Piano tuning happens to be one. Massage therapy happens to be another one. There are some blind attorneys. But there is only one that I know of, naturopathic physician. In order to become a naturopathic physician, one has to go through a great deal of schooling and a great deal of extensive study, much of which seems to be visual in terms of interpreting x-rays and lab slides and this kind of thing. There was only one other blind person that I heard about who became a naturopathic physician. He lived in Utah. But today, my guest is Dr. Chris Cook. Chris Cook is a naturopathic physician. She has just graduated from one of four schools in the U.S. and Canada that teach naturopathic physician material and would qualify one to become a naturopathic physician. This requires about as much medical training as one would get, I would assume, to become a medical doctor. And so it is with a great deal of pleasure that I introduce this morning Chris Cook. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Chris, I guess probably the first thing one would want to know is you're going to be practicing in Newburgh and maybe part-time in Portland, as I understand.
Yes, that's the current plan right now.
Anyway, I would like to know a little bit about your background and what in the world got you interested in naturopathic medicine to begin with.
Well, it is an interesting story because I originally received my BA in piano performance almost 20 years ago from George Fox University, and I taught for quite a long time. And then my health went downhill, and I found a lot of answers from naturopathic medicine to regain my health, and I wanted to help give that back to other people and help them find their health. So I thought about going into nutrition, but I didn't really want to be a dietitian, and I thought, well, I could do preventative counseling for people, but folks don't usually come to you when they're well and they want to stay that way. They usually come to you when they're ill and they want some help. So I just grew into the perspective that I really wanted to be a doctor, and I felt that naturopathic medicine, since it really values and has time to entertain the therapeutic relationship and spend a lot of time with patients and uses your other senses and really is a good fit for me personally, and I just really wanted to pursue that avenue.
Well, Chris, I've heard people, you used a phrase that I often hear when we're referring to somebody who has any type of disability, whether it's deafness or blindness or whatever. You mentioned your other senses. And in my understanding is that so much of medicine is visual. I mean, you know, the reading, you've got to read all these textbooks and you have, to be able to look at an x-ray and see, oh, this is a compound fracture, this is a green stick fracture, this is a something else, and have to identify slides, you know, what's a bacteria and what's a virus, and be able to do all this stuff. How in the world did you get through those kinds of things? Obviously, you can't feel the x-ray and know how to read it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I think that our coursework teaches those things, but in reality, people read a lot of reports. We are taught whole year of diagnostic imaging, which involves looking at x-rays, I would play 20 questions with my professor and ask him about what he should be seeing given multiple choice answers on the exam. And he would tell me whether he saw that presentation or not with a fracture or a lesion. But we're taught in a lot of things that sometimes we don't do really a lot of in the real world. So we read a lot of x-ray reports instead of interpreting x-rays, though we're taught how to do that.
Oh, in other words, okay, just like a medical doctor will say, okay, Mr. Van Dyke, you need we need to x-ray your arm here, and then the x-ray goes off somewhere and the radiologist reads it and then says, well, Dr. Cook, he's got a distal phalangeal something or other in his left knee or something, right?
Yes, we have the training, but in real life we don't actually read a lot of x-rays, so we certainly look at them, and I've heard of naturopaths who have seen things very important on x-rays that might have been missed elsewhere, but we also, we don't have microscope privileges in our labs yet in order to diagnose people, but we spend a lot of time looking at things under microscopes just because that educates us on as to really how that patient would present. And in order to understand all those reports, it's really valuable to have seen or to know what things look like. So there's a little disparity between what we actually spend a lot of time doing in real life and what's involved in the educational process.
Oh, okay, because I know in early on in my college career, I had to take biology, and I didn't do too well on, because I actually didn't know how to, of course, my main field was music and education, so someone would say, well, it looks, this slide looks like somebody made some green jello and some yellow jello and sort of stuck the stuff together in a blender, and it looks kind of like a big mass of jelly there, and I don't know how else to describe it to you. So how, I guess the other question would be then, even though you don't have to necessarily interpret the slides, how did you get through that part of the coursework, and where did you get people to actually adequately explain it to you? You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you're saying. I actually worked in classes like histology, which is the study of cells and tissues, and I actually worked with a lab assistant, and we spent many hours going over the slides and describing them in terms of say, the green and whatever color jello that you were talking about. But also, you know, what did the cells actually look like? Was there more than one cell type, more than one layer? What shape were they? Were they pointing at you, or were they horizontal? You know, their orientation. All the questions that a sighted person actually asks in their head when they're going through that whole procedure. And so I just verbalized it, and I committed a lot of that to memory. So in any visual part of this whole being a doctor, I'm just simply verbalizing and asking for information that everyone else is actually going through in their own head. They're just not saying it out loud.
Okay, and so they don't have to have it interpreted by somebody else. But as you adequately pointed out, the most doctors, and I've been working as a transcriptionist for a long time, so I know this to be true, that the doctors do have their radiologists or somebody else read the reports, and they basically just see the patients and say, okay, this is what your lab test turned out, and this is what I think ought to work for you. Now, naturopathic physicians, Chris, you mentioned nutrition as being part of that. I guess for those of us who are somewhat uninitiated at this, what it would be naturopathic physician as opposed to a medical doctor or an osteopathic doctor?
Okay, naturopathic physicians are general practitioners, and they're licensed in 14 states, including Oregon, Washington, and most recently California, and several Canadian provinces. And they do family practice. They, like you mentioned before, we get a lot of extensive training. Our orientation is the Western sciences, so we start from that. foundational level and diagnosis, but we use a lot of what we call modalities or treatments in order to address the patient's cause of disease rather than just treating symptoms. So we use things such as nutrition, botanical medicine or herbs, physical medicine, some counseling. We have some training in counseling and homeopathy, which is another branch of our medicine. And in some states, we also have a pretty extensive drug formulary so that if we need to prescribe drugs, we can do that. In some states, we're allowed to do minor surgery. But those drugs and minor surgery are on the continuum, a bit more invasive, and we really try to do the least invasive treatment possible.
Wow. So basically then, what you're saying is that you use a number of different modalities to figure out the best treatment for the patient, while maybe a medical doctor would say, okay, here's a prescription for your nose
right.
is running, so here's some Nasonex, and you got 3 refills, and here's something for your stomach, and go away
right.
and call me in the
we
morning.
Really want to get to the cause of why does this person have sinus trouble or stomach trouble. What is actually the cause of what's going on, and we try to keep tracing it back until we actually find it. And every patient gets an individualized treatment plan, and we really try very hard not to substitute an herb for a drug, because then that's just doing about the same thing, but you know, using something a little less harmful, let's say. So we should really try to address the patient's cause of disease, and we also do a lot of education and a lot of preventive medicine, lots of training. If you really want to keep people healthy so they don't have to go on some of the drugs and prescriptions they might find themselves on.
Well, that's true, particularly with the price of drugs these days, with being, with all of the
right.
Medicare supplements and things that are confusing. So do you primarily then, I guess, now your particular field, I believe you told me before we came on the air, was endocrinology. And
that's really a fascination of mine, because it involves so many systems, and people maybe present with hypothyroid, but maybe it's because their adrenal glands are not functioning properly, or because, you know, any number of some other hormonal reasons. So actually, it's a fascinating and very complicated thing to think about for people, how all of their systems interact with each other. And I think that's a lot of people struggle with, that the various systems are kind of out of whack, and so how to really bring everything back into balance. And that's fascinating to me.
So basically, if someone presents to you because they have constant indigestion or something, and they've
mm-hmm.
tried different, eating different stuff and different, you know, it could be the abdominal symptoms might be as a result of a host of other things. So you're trying to find out, like, how much stress they have in their life, or
that's really important. The emotional component is sometimes overlooked, and I think people are really on overdrive, and they just really wear themselves out, and systems start to break down. So definitely the emotional component is important, but things do have physical causes that are really physical. Sometimes it's medications they're taking. Sometimes it's an imbalance of their whole GI system. There could be lots of different, their digestive enzymes could be low. I mean, there's a lot of things that we would explore, and all those history-taking kinds of things that a medical doctor would be exploring with them when it starts occurring for you. How long has it been? What makes it better and worse? I mean, everyone's concerned about that. We just really try to get to the cause of why it happened in the first place.
So when you go to a doctor's office and they start asking you all of these questions that, what do you mean? Did my grandmother die of cancer or something? Like, what does that have to do with me? It might have everything to do with you. So if the questions seem not relevant, the doctor may have very specific reasons of her own for asking those. I should point out at this time that you're listening to KBOO-FM, in Portland, 90.7. The program is Sounds of Awareness, and my guest this morning is Dr. Chris Cook. Chris Cook studied to become a naturopathic physician. She is the first, maybe not the first naturopathic physician who is blind, but at least the first one in Oregon and Washington that we know of. And I want to kind of go into some things that maybe you could tell us, because this is a program that focuses on the disability aspect. And one might argue, well, Chris isn't disabled. She just simply uses different tools or different techniques. When you do a lot of physical, literal, hands-on medicine, and in a figurative sense too, can you kind of tell us maybe your approach to someone who might come in your office and after the history taking and so on? And you mentioned mechanical and physical medicine, you mentioned. And I'm wondering.
Yeah, after the history is over, and actually, you know, about 85 to 90% of the history of the actual, of your actual perspective is what did you find on the history, so that when you do the physical exam, you will generally find what you're expecting. And so that's why we can really shine as people who happen to be blind, because we can take an in-depth history, put our detective thinking cap on, and really think about all the possibilities. So in a physical exam, I'm doing all the things that I can do, but the ENT, or eyes, ears, nose, and throat part of the exam, is something that I would require some help with, and I'm asking my assistant all of the questions that you would be asking in your head if you were doing that particular exam. And then depending on what we determine is going on, you know, there are manipulations, certainly not to the degree that chiropractors learn them, but some manipulations to the spine, for instance, or soft tissue work, it can really release a lot of tension, can improve the immune system. So, you know, that's some of the hands-on things that we are trained to do, and the rest of it is just plain excellent detective work to figure out what is actually going on with the patient.
Well, that sounds like it really isn't all that much of a challenge for you as a blind person. It sounds like it would just be kind of the same as any other doctor would do, and I guess probably what we might want to explore for our audience too is you obviously did pretty well in school. When you were a kid, did you go to a school for the blind, or did you go to a public school?
I went to the Oregon State School for the Blind for years, from ages 4 to 7, and then I went to a public school after that.
Okay. What was the advantage for you in going to a school for the blind rather than just simply your folks saying, we want her to be like everybody else, so we're going to send her to public school?
Well, I think at that time, which was the very late 60s into the early 70s, they weren't doing a lot of mainstreaming where kids were integrated into the public school system. It was, Oregon was really at the forefront, I believe, of that movement. And so it was just the thing that you did. But they realized after a short time that I really was excelling in what I was doing, and they really wanted me to be with my sighted peers and take advantage of what the public school had to offer as well. And both were good for me in different ways. You know, socialization with people who are just like you and have the same challenges at the School for the Blind was great, and then the other opportunities that the public school had were fine as well.
I guess so. Someone compared one time a School for the Blind, in fact, in a recent program we interviewed Dr. Stingham, who is the superintendent at the Washington State School for the Blind, and he mentioned that one of the things that schools for the blind, or schools for any particular group of people, School for the Deaf or whatever, one of their strong points and one of their main reasons is to kind of like be the landing strip for the airplane, or not the landing strip, but the airstrip where you kind of have a chance to taxi out and get up enough speed so that you can fly. In other words, they give you skills like Braille, learning to read and write Braille, so at least you're literate, and nowadays how to use a computer that talks, so you can use the internet and whatever else things might be available. Do you have accessible equipment like that? If I said, well, doctor, I'm taking XYZ medication, and you haven't particularly heard of that thing, are you able to then go, let's say, to the internet, or to, it used to be those great big thick physician's desk references?
Right. I do have a lot of tools. The internet is definitely accessible to me through my computer, which reads the text verbally. But I also have a great tool that runs on an adapted PDA called a PacMate, and that's in a pocket PC, which has been adapted for us. It has a Braille display, and it also has speech. And the program, Hippocrates, is a medical reference software program, which has a drug tool, a diagnosis tool, symptoms, infectious disease, all these kinds of categories of things that you can look up. And, thousands of doctors have this particular program, either for their palm or their pocket PC. And so a program in Vancouver, a company in Vancouver, Next Level Assistive Technology, Michael Hook is the founder of that, and they scripted, which means they programmed the PacMate to be able to work with that particular program, and it has leveled the playing field for me so that I can have access to that same information that my sighted peers have in the clinic.
Actually, Mike,
look up your drug.
So, okay, and then you might be able to compare my symptoms with what my particular drug or my particular herb or whatever is doing, and
right.
Say, you know, Paul, I think the thing that would help you more would be a hammer to the back of the head, or so. some other type of thing. Or you might say, well, this seems to be working well for you. Or
right, yeah. One of the patients that I saw not long ago had a particular symptom, and this person was on various medications, and I looked up the medication in particular that we were thinking of, and that was one of the side effects, the symptom that they were experiencing. So I knew that, you know, given that history and looking that up, that really, you know, if the person didn't have to be on that drug for some reason, we could address it some other way, that symptom might go away, rather than necessarily treating that symptom as an entity in itself. So that's been really handy for me.
Now, you mentioned, of course, I think everybody knows that nutrition is really superior, or one of the main things, if you're not getting enough the right kind of minerals or amino acids or something, and that's a whole study in itself.
Right.
You know, the type of foods you eat and that kind of thing. Do you deal with, of course, with the endocrine system? I imagine a lot of things come into play, but do you? Do herbs, let's say, have a place in that endocrinology as you practice?
Yes, definitely. Definitely, they can be really supportive and help the body balance itself out. And, of course, you know, nutrition is so very important, because what we take in is so crucial to our health. And, you know, if your car isn't running real smooth and you're not giving it the kind of fuel that it needs, it's not going to work very well for you.
Okay, I'm just checking the clock here and noticing that, Chris, we're out of time for this, and it's gone by. Are there any comments that you might want to make to sort of fill in any gaps that we might have left for the the interview today? Anything I forgot to ask you or things that you want to mention to the audience?
I don't think so, just that if you have a will to do whatever it is that you feel passionately about, go for it, because there's always a way to do what you'd like to do, and problem solving is one of my greatest joys, and that's what stood me in good stead.
Great. Well, Chris Cook, when you get established in your office down there, I want you to call me, and we will put on our Sounds of Awareness website, try saying that fast three times, with a new bridge. Anyway, and we will put your name on the Sounds of Awareness website and information on how to get a hold of you. And I really appreciate you taking time this morning to talk to us on Sounds of Awareness.
Thank you so much.
My guest has been Dr. Chris Cook, a naturopathic physician. I mention that she is blind because this is a program about disability issues. And basically, Chris is another proof that it isn't a matter of being brave or being courageous. It's simply a matter of taking responsibility and doing what you need to do to accomplish a goal.
Listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM in Portland. Coming up, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman.